The trade ecosystem digitalization holds the potential to increase trade by nearly $9 trillion. From over 1,300 cities in 130 countries, we bring you the Good Morning Africa podcast. Good morning, Africa, and welcome aboard your pulse on everything business in Africa. I am Ritha Dong. For more, follow us on Twitter at the K Financial News, and you can find me at Ritha Dong. Today's main story is brought to you by BK Capital, Rwanda's investment powerhouse. Elevate your franc investments with the Aguka Unit Trust Fund, offering impressive returns of up to 10.4%. Dive deeper into the world of this and more opportunities at www.bkcapital.rw. Technology is revolutionizing global commercial and investment, and digitalizing the trade ecosystem holds the potential to increase trade by nearly $9 trillion by 2060 within the G7 alone. The United Arab Emirates Minister of State for Trade, Thani Ahmed Al-Zayoudi, explains the Trade Tech Initiative and what it will do for global commerce. AP Moller Maersk CEO Vincent Clerc expounds on why tech can be both an enabler and barrier in the current market.
The Trade Tech Initiative is a partnership between the government of UAE and the World Economic Forum with the aim of accelerating the digitizations as well as adopting the technology so we can ensure that the international trade is smooth, improved and moving forward. So it's a set of technologies and innovations that will enable the global trade to be more efficient, inclusive, equitable. And here we're talking about very diverse of technologies when it comes to Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, blockchain, and any other technology which could have a potential to revolutionize the way the trade is done. So it's going to impact many of the areas. Here we're talking about customs, finance for sure, which is a key aspect of any trade, supply chain, as well as the warehouses solutions. The initiatives will focus on many elements, and it's going to be having an incubators. We're going to enable promising startups in this space with the capital resources to grow their ideas into very, very friendly ecosystem. A forum which is bringing the main players and movers as well as shakers on the in this sector, reports which bringing the best practices and highlighting the way forward in many of the challenges that is facing globe, and the for sure the sandbox where companies, startups can experiment, try some of their innovations at the edge or outside the existing framework. We at the UAE, we've been always acting as a sandbox. The trade has been always an integral part of our economic and growth. We've been a leader of many of the global commodities movements, and we're going to be one of the main supporters for the innovators and tech providers in this sector as well.
And a quick look at the markets. The market segment is powered by the Development Bank of Rwanda. We empower you. WTI crude futures surged past $78 per barrel on Tuesday, fueled by OPEC's optimistic outlook on global oil demand growth in 2024 and 2025. The organization also raised its economic growth forecast for the current year, citing room for improvement. According to OPEC's monthly report, oil demand is expected to increase by 2.25 million barrels per day in 2024 and by 1.85 million barrels per day in 2025, unchanged from previous estimates. Conflict in the Middle East and supply disruptions have provided support for oil prices, although concerns about high interest rates persist. OPEC projects global economic growth at 2.8% this year, with unexpected easing in inflation. Output cuts by OPEC and its allies since late 2022 have helped stabilize the market, with a new round of cuts in effect for the first quarter of this year, recently extended to cover the second quarter. Despite OPEC's efforts, oil production increased by 203,000 barrels per day in February to 26.57 million barrels per day, led by Nigeria and Libya. And a quick trip around Africa. Economic growth surprised to the upside in Rwanda, with the latest national accounts data indicating that the economy expanded by a stellar 8.2% in 2023 against a forecast of 6.7%. The economy grew by 10% year-on-year in quarter four, making quarter four the best performer last year. Going forward, the expectation is investments in key sectors such as mining, healthcare, transport and agriculture to support real GDP growth forecast of 5.3% for 2024. Namibia and South Africa in talks to launch infrastructure projects worth $377 million over the next 3 years to address current rail and port inefficiencies. The Namibian Executive Director for the Ministry of Finance and Public Enterprises, Titus Ndove, says his ministry is mobilizing the initial 2 billion rand this year as part of the project linking the two nations and other parts of the Southern African region. South Africa's economy barely escaped a recession last year as transport bottlenecks and a severe shortage of power constrained economic activity, forcing government to rope in the private sector to improve efficiencies at its ports and improve its rail network. South Africa is Namibia's largest trading partner, and both countries are members of the Southern African Customs Union, the world's oldest customs union. Ndove told delegates at the second annual 91 Infrastructure Forum that it's vital that South Africa resolves its logistics and port crisis by investing in key infrastructure. The Capital Markets Authority of Kenya has invited public and stakeholders to give their views on proposed amendments to proposed trading regulations. The margin trading regulations seek to enhance market liquidity in securities trade. They further seek to enhance responsiveness to changing dynamics, market developments, technological advancements, and emerging stakeholder expectations. CMA Chief Executive Wycliffe Shamir says the margin financing seeks to enable investors buy large quantities of securities seen as undervalued or their price has been impacted by negative news or investor sentiments, but have potential for recovery. If introduced, the trading will be limited to participants approved by the Capital Markets Authority. The rules, according to CMA, will increase the supply and demand for securities and maintain the stability and integrity of financial markets. Margin trading was recommended as one of the measures to improve liquidity in the equity market in 2015 World Bank report on potential measures for the improvement of liquidity in the Kenyan equity market. Other recommendations include the securities lending and borrowing and market making.
So if you look actually at what has happened over the last few decades, a lot of work has been done in removing trade barriers, and that created all that growth and all that growth in trade. But this has not been matched by actually creating the same connectivity in the data world that is so important to underpin global trades as it is in the movement of goods, the physical movement of goods. So there we've done tremendous progress in opening up, signing trade agreements, developing infrastructure, and being able to move the goods. If you look at the data, it's still extremely fragmented. For something as simple, I think you were talking about data standards, geolocation, there is not one way of determining geolocation, which make data interchange extremely complex. And it goes like this for virtually every data field that you're using in the course of global trade. It makes the world of a lot of the actors in the ecosystem, whether it is the banking community to finance the trades, whether it is the exporters and importers that need to exchange data or use different vendors, makes it very difficult for them to connect those data. Global trade is enormous and keeps the world spinning, but it is underpinned, the global supply chain is still extremely fragmented. And what this means is the data is siloed to an extent where it's very difficult to create sufficient network effects to really see this take ground and pace. People are actually very jealous of their silo. They're afraid also of some of the cyber implications of sharing their data, security implications. A lot of the things that were mentioned before also on the competitiveness of data is standing in the way. And then you have that suboptimal outcome where that fragmentation is actually being jealously protected and has an incredible cost on the sum of the part. Today, there are more barriers to trade on the data and technology side than there is on the physical side. And this affects, I think, to this asymmetry that was being talked about. This affects certain emerging economies harder than it does other more developed economies. And this inability that there has been so far to connect this and to create that infrastructure is actually a big issue.
Yeah.
And I can give you a simple example. There is about 200 countries in the world that all have customs authorities that need to look pretty much at the same thing where a shipment is either leaving the country or coming in the country. And yet there is no standard way of having data interfaces between the different customs agencies and the service providers. And what does that mean? It means a tremendous amount of lost time and cost, where you can have physically fantastic, you know, terminal infrastructure, ships and railroads and railways, but the cargo gets stuck because on a data connection between customs and the shipper, things, you know, go black for 10 days before you can know about anything.
Thank you for waking up with us. Good Morning Africa is a product of The K Financial. If you have suggestions or you just want to check out more stories, visit the website, that's thekfinancial.com. And don't forget to subscribe. You can also find us on all social media platforms at The K Financial. And you can find me at With A Donk.